Lift up your hands. In a mighty and powerful way. And that the Spirit will reveal to us what He has for the church, what He has for us as individual believers. And we claim this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Book of Acts. You may be seated around the church. Look at Acts chapter 4. And we're going to read the last part of verse 29, all of verse 30, and the last part of verse 33. That with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. The last line of verse 33, and great grace was upon them all. So we're looking at three concepts here. Boldness, signs, wonders, / healing, and great grace. Now, I want us to concentrate really on that first one first. Boldness to preach. Boldness. We're talking about something completely and totally different in the way of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because boldness, or the ability to speak with the anointing, is really the key to all of this. Why? Great grace is important. Signs and wonders are important. Healing is important. But by the foolishness of preaching, men are brought to salvation. Faith comes by what? Hearing, which means someone has to speak the words first. You see, the boldness to speak your words, this boldness to do this will lead people to Jesus. Signs and wonders, healing, they are important. Great grace, very important. But boldness to preach. Keep in mind that this is the door that will lead people to believe in the Christ, the cross, the resurrection. Throughout the Bible, one of the gifts that kind of goes unnoticed is boldness to preach. If you look at the Old Testament prophets, it is an important part of their ministry, the boldness to speak. Think about this. I want to start with Moses tonight. The book of Exodus is where we're heading. But before we get there, I want to read a last few lines in the book of Deuteronomy. The last few lines in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Great prophet. What is a prophet? Spokesman for God. Meaning, the anointed word is a part of this power. Let's go back to a moment. When Moses first arrived back in Egypt, after spending 40 years with a group of sheep, a man who spent 40 years with sheep, an 80-year-old, should not even don the door of the most powerful ruler in the earth at that time, the Pharaoh of all Egypt. Throw in with Moses' 83-year-old brother Aaron. Two 80-plus-year-olds should not be able to waltz into Pharaoh's palace and get an audience with the most powerful man in all Egypt, arguably the most powerful man in the world at that point. Can I ask the question? Why in the world did Pharaoh grant them an audience to begin with? I'm going to start by saying great grace, because it took the favor of God to get in there. Now, here is Pharaoh. He is listening to Moses. When Moses says, "Let my people go." Yes, we know about the rods that Aaron threw down and how they had Pharaoh's sorcerer's rods for lunch and they didn't return them. We know this. But I want to talk about what was with Moses after the burning bush. Prior to the burning bush, the only one Moses spoke to was sheep for the last 40 years. Yeah, he talked to his wife and a few others, but his biggest audience was sheep. Now, here he is, the favor of God in his life. And he is standing in front of the Pharaoh. Yes. Signs and wonders has been seen in this early stage. But let me add something here. A boldness to speak that was not there before. A boldness that begins with, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." A boldness that continues with divine poise and divine protection and divine projection, as in the voice going out. But let me add something. Pharaoh listened to Moses. Even with the signs and wonders, why would the most powerful man in all of Egypt listen to a shepherd and the slave? Because that's who Moses and Aaron were prior to that moment. A shepherd and a slave. Because there was something in their lives when they spoke that went beyond the actual words that they were saying. There was a divine anointing when those two said, "Let my people go," that did not exist before their experiences, in the case of Moses, with the burning bush. When one has an encounter with the anointing, one who would not be listened to, now is listened to. Pharaoh in the natural would not have listened to Moses. But now, with this divine anointing in his words, he's paying attention to what he says. And as I said, this goes beyond the signs and the wonders. It actually connects to them. Because the anointed word will open doors that the unanointed words will never open. Now understand something. The words might be anointed. The attention given to those words might be divine and anointed. And the only reason Pharaoh was listening to Moses ultimately was he was experiencing the anointing of God. That does not mean one accepts or even believes what's being said. Pharaoh never did. But there were those in Israel that heard the word of the Lord from Moses. And what happened? They begin to believe what they're being told. Why? Because there is something about what Moses is saying and the anointing that's now with him as he speaks these words that they pay attention. Think about this. Someone waltzes into Pharaoh. Frogs are going to invade your kingdom. Like anyone would pay attention to that. Yet they did. Why? Because there was something about what Moses was saying that rang true. And what makes it ring true? The anointing. You see, when a prophet speaks in the old, there is an anointing with the word. Anointing opens doors. Think about this. Why in the world did the prophet Elijah, who when he first shows up in the book of 1 Kings, why does he even gain an audience with Ahab? He's an unknown prophet from Gilead. Now, he's in the palace of the king. Why does that happen? One, favor. Two, signs, wonders, which we're about to follow. But three, an anointing in the words. The boldness that came with Elijah. The favor brings him in. Not the favor of Ahab, the favor of God. But when he is there, he now speaks a message that rocks the kingdom. Why? There is an anointing in the message of Elijah. Think about this. When he arrives at Zarephath, when he meets the widow woman, give me that cake. Why does she do this? Because there is an anointing in the words of Elijah that tells her to do it. Why did Israel cooperate with Elijah at the test at Mount Carmel? Because there is something in the words that Elijah is saying, called an anointing, that makes people listen to what is being said. We can look at the various prophets throughout the Old Testament. Why wasn't Isaiah listened to? Why wasn't Jeremiah listened to? Why wasn't Daniel listened to? I mean, Daniel walks into the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. All he says is, I can interpret the dream. And then Nebuchadnezzar, most powerful person of the world at that point, says, yes, I will let you interpret the dream. Why? Because there's already an anointing in what Daniel said, I can interpret the dream, more than any of the rest of the soothsayers in Babylon. Are you getting this? The message that these prophets spoke and wrote, they wrote with the anointing of the Lord. Now understand, when we read books like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, the words were not just written. At some point, they were actually spoken to individuals first. When those words were spoken, it was with a holy boldness and anointing that allowed them to speak these words. When the anointing was on the words, everyone listened. They might not have agreed at the end, but this anointing held their attention to the point where they listened to what was being said. Who holds the attention of the people through all of these books? The Holy Spirit holds the attention because of the anointing in the Word. Keep in mind, as we said, before they wrote the words, they spoke the words. And the anointing was in the spoken word just as much as the written word. If you look at the minor prophets, Jonah shows up in the middle of Nineveh. Why do they even listen to him? He should just be considered some crackpot. But why did they in Nineveh listen to him? I'm going to say it goes beyond, this city is going to be destroyed. There was something in the words that Jonah was saying. And this was an anointing that opened the ears of the people to listen to what was being said. Amos, he was a shepherd. He goes from the south to the north, and people listen to him. They might reject it, but they listened. Why? Because there was something in his words, an anointing, a boldness that existed even after the Babylonian captivity. When Haggai and Zechariah stood up and said, build the temple. Why should anyone listen to those two? The government said, thou shalt not do it. The army, their swords are sharp. They can cut us down at any moment. Why did Israel listen to those prophets? Because there was something there in what they were speaking that caught the attention of the people. And that something that caught the attention of the people was the anointed power in the message they were preaching. From the very first incident where we read after the flood, all the way through, when a message is given to individuals or a group of people, there is an anointing in the word. When Samuel went to Saul and said, you are no longer king, there was an anointing in the word which told Saul he was right. When Samuel went to David, the exact same thing, the same anointing. When Nathan said, "You are the man," it was with an anointing from the Lord that David knew was correct. Whenever we see an anointed word, it will shake a person to its core. They will either change in repentance or they will change and fight. But when the spoken word is given, there will be a change because the anointing is that powerful. Boldness to speak with power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are we still here? Now let's look at the ministry of Jesus. It's very clear. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. After Jesus returned to Capernaum from Nazareth, what do we see? The people saying this, verse 32, "For his word was with power, an anointing of the Holy Ghost that went beyond signs and wonders and great grace." When Jesus spoke the word of God, it was with a heavy and powerful anointing on the words. Why were the people there? Well, they were there to see the signs and wonders. True. But why did they stick around to hear what Jesus was saying? Because there was an anointing in the words that Jesus spoke. In the Sermon on the Mount, it's outside. Nobody normally sits outside on a mountain listening to anyone. Why did this crowd stay? There was an anointing in the words of Jesus as they went forth. When Jesus, whenever He spoke, when we see the words in red, there is an anointing in those words that come from the Holy Ghost. Word of God with power. A boldness. Now when we look at Acts chapter 4, what do the apostles want? I know we read it. Speak your word with boldness. But what boldness are they looking for? Remember that these men had spent 3.5 years with the one who spoke the word with boldness more than anyone else. Are we still here? They heard Jesus. They knew what the word with the anointing was all about. They listened to this, and they experienced this day after day after day. Yes, they knew about the concept of the anointed word. Why do you think they wanted it? Because they saw it in action. They saw this word captivate 5,000 people at a time. They saw this word captivate 4,000 people at a time. They heard this word spoken in occasions where the people stayed with Jesus for days listening to what He was saying. Why? Because there was something in the words that Jesus was speaking. It wasn't boring, monotonous language. It was something that opened up the hearts of people. What the apostles wanted, what the early church wanted, was the anointing that Jesus had when he spoke. This boldness to speak that Jesus had. Remember, when Peter and John were testifying in Acts chapter 4, the early part of the chapter, it was apparent that they were with Jesus. But why were they able to speak so boldly? Because the anointing of the Holy Ghost was with their words. Remember it said, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. The anointing was in their words. Why did they get out of that situation? Because the anointing of the Holy Ghost was with them. When you look at great and mighty moves of God, if you look, Paul, in the second part of the book of Acts, he is able to speak with an anointing of the Holy Ghost that opens the ears of the most skeptical Gentile Greeks to listen to him. This is a man who should be ignored. Yet why are they listening to him? The anointing in his words. If you look, especially the 1900s, with the advent of radio and television, with microphones and new ways of communication, the word becomes very important. But why did certain ministries stand out more than others? Because they received something called the boldness to speak your words. The boldness of the Holy Ghost to speak to people throughout their ministry. You can have all the production value in the world, but it will not replace the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. Are we together on this? Even in this day and this time, get what we're saying. Yes, we need great grace. If you look at every move of God, there is a great grace aspect of it. The favor of God opening doors that should never be open in the natural. That is divine. That is a part of it. We need to desire this type of grace in ministry, and obviously signs and wonders. But what was the number one request in the verses we just read in Acts chapter 4? The number one request was boldness to to speak your words. Boldness to preach the gospel. What we are desiring as a ministry is a prophetic anointing on the words we speak. Without an anointing, no one is listened to. We only know Peter in the book of Acts because the anointing was on the words he spoke. We only know about the Apostle Paul because when he first arrived at all of those cities before he wrote epistles, he spoke the word with power. If you look at Azusa Street, there was an element of the boldness to speak the word, even in the healing revivals. If you listen to the Oral Roberts and the A.A. Allens, they were more than men who laid hands on the sick. When they spoke with an anointing power on their voices, where people throughout that tent would listen to them. And this went beyond the healings, because it takes an anointing on one's voice and one's ears to get a message across to that many people. The charismatic renewal, it's the same thing. There was an anointing on the ministers who preached during that era. And even today, those who preach the word with an anointing power, it moves people to change. I'm not talking about being able in the natural to use one's voice to sway people from one side to another. That might help in the natural, but it will make no spiritual difference at all. What will make a spiritual difference is something else. Do we want to see all of these gifts that are listed in the Bible in operation in the church?
Amen.
Absolutely. It begins with what? Boldness to speak your word. Why? Because ultimately, still number one goal of the church is souls being saved. And souls are saved when there is a heavy anointing of the Holy Ghost on the words going forth and the listeners hearing the word. The boldness to preach, the anointing there, it's the anointing that will change souls and change lives. This end time move that we are going to experience and beginning to see now. Yes, it will involve elements of praise and worship. It will involve signs and wonders. It will involve great grace. But ultimately, more than any move, this is going to be about thus saith the word of the Lord. A prophetic anointing to preach the gospel for souls to be saved. An anointing on the words that's going to lead people to come to the altar to either dedicate themselves to Jesus or to rededicate themselves to Jesus. What we're talking about here is something that the world needs now more than ever. A heavy anointing to speak the word of God. A prophetic anointing to speak the words that's going to open hearts to be saved. Tonight, each and every one of us in this church, we need this anointing. When we talk to people, we have a tendency first to clam up and be quiet. A lot of that goes beyond even our Christian faith. It's just a fear of speaking in public. But this anointing, boldness, prophetic anointing, will destroy that fear, opening our mouths to speak. But what about the words? I will give you the words, thus saith the Lord. The Lord gives the words, and He will give the anointing. Individually, one by one. Why will one listen to you, witness? Without the anointing, no one pays attention. But with the anointing on the words, the prophetic anointing, those who would have never listened to a word you would have said otherwise are now looking at you very closely, listening and hanging on to every syllable you are saying. This is what we need. A boldness, not just in the pulpit, but a boldness when we teach our young. A boldness when we witness to those outside the church. A boldness that will drive out all fear. A boldness that will lead us to speak in a way as we have never spoken before. Tonight, what the Spirit is saying to the church, He is saying this: I want to give My boldness to speak Your word, My prophetic anointing, to every single one of you. This is an anointing we all can have because we have been all called to be witnesses of Jesus. The only way we will be able to win any soul to Jesus is with this anointing, be it in the church, be it in the community, be it with a one-on-one relationship. This is the anointing we need to be praying for. What will shake our world? What will shake our families? What will shake our relationships? What will shake every single individual who is out there? the boldness to speak your words. The power of the Holy Ghost when we speak. This is what our number one goal needs to be. Let's stand across the church.